Hey, Mark.
Hey, Katie.
Hey, you want to do a podcast?
Yeah.
Sweet. Okay. Welcome to the Unforget Yourself show, where we use the power of woo and the proof of science to help you identify your blind spots, get over your own bullshit, so that you can do the fucking thing you actually want to do.
Absolutely. I'm Mark.
And I'm Katie.
And we're the founders of Unforget Yourself and the creators of the Unforget Yourself system. Look, being a business owner is tough.
Yeah.
With vulnerability and with humor, mm-hmm. we'll be sharing with you the real stories behind the success of those brave and crazy enough to start their own business. And to show you that you're not alone.
You're not. Well, from the accidental entrepreneur to the laser-focused CEO, we have honest conversations about how they got to where they are today. We talk about the challenges that they faced and what they're currently dealing with in real time on their roller coaster journey. Along the way, we want to show you that it's you. You are the most important asset in your business.
Yeah, you are. So let's cut the bullshit and start the show.
Enjoy. Okay. Hello. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the show. Today, we have Lev Cooper joining us. Lev is the owner of Dynamic Well Services, Inc., and he is an active real estate investor. Lev shared that he wants to create 1 million new business owners to turn 10,000 homeless veterans into business owners and eventually help bring three third world countries out of poverty through the creation of capitalism and industry. I love big goals. It's fantastic. I think you have an incredible story about your journey into business that will inspire others that are lost on their own. And so I can't wait to hear more about it. And maybe that's where we can start. So for our listeners, could you tell us a bit about your story?
Yeah. And thank you for having me on today. I'm really excited to do this and appreciate the opportunity to share my story.
You're welcome.
So about 11 years ago, 12 years ago, I ended up in North Dakota as a diesel mechanic. I came out here by trade. Mm-hmm. I had transitioned over to workover rigs, started working on workover rigs, and I hated it at first, but shortly fell in love with the job. And I had one of my supervisors that had quit and went and bought his own rig one day. And after that, I kept telling myself over and over again that I'm like, one day I'm going to own a rig. I had no idea how I was going to do it, no idea where to start. Mm-hmm. And I proceeded to just work every day. Always put in my work the hardest, but I mean, every once in a while I'd get discouraged because I'd think about this dream in my head and it was like, there's no way I can do this. I have no idea how to go about this. No idea how to get the money for it. No idea where to even start. And so there's definitely a lot of days that were just really aggravating along the way of trying to figure it out. After about, I believe it was 7 years, I think I had, I don't know the exact timeline, but it was fall of 2015. I had taken a new job for a new company and oil was crashing. I had to start, I went over to the company and I literally went back to the very bottom, it's called it was a new hand basically for the company. Everybody else had been there for a while. I was the newest guy there and I was like, okay, I'm going to have to start from scratch and work my way up again. And, within 2 months, I worked my way up to a tool pusher, which is a supervisor over the rig. Mm-hmm. And within a year, I was a lead pusher over all the rigs. And at the time, we had three rigs. They bought a fourth rig. And in the fall of 2017, the owner of the company, she approached me and asked, would you be willing to run this company for me? I was nervous. I was extremely grateful for the opportunity, but again, no idea even where to, I said, I'll try, I don't have any managing experience, or I didn't think I had managing experience, but mm-hmm. I was like, I'll do the best I can. Deep dove into numbers. The company had been losing money. The previous managers had embezzled, stole from her. So I just started going through everything, running the numbers and hand calculating everything to see where we're losing money, where we're, where we can cut costs. And mm-hmm. Within a year, she told me that it was the first time the company had made, she had profited basically since she had started in 2012.
Oh,
so,
wow.
And she said, now you need to figure out a way to buy me out. And I kind of laughed about it. And She's like, no, I'm dead serious. And at the time we had just got a sales manager who had skyrocketed our sales division as well. And we had 10 times our, what we were doing in revenue for sales. So I asked him, hey, would you like to go into business with me? And it was, there was definitely a lot of challenges with the buying process. You know, she wanted us to come up with down payment, and coming with the funds was a extremely tough process, but
yeah.
Eventually she worked with us and we made it all happen. And fall of 2018, we took over ownership of the company. And so when I tell people, I'm like, you know, they're like, oh, how do you start a business? You know, I'm like, I don't know how you would start a business or how most people start a business, but I say I 100% manifested mine. You know, I wasn't sure if manifesting was real before, but after I had watched the process play out, I knew that it was real, because I tell people, you know, I had no idea how it works or how it was going to do it and everything. You know, I just kept working hard and just, you know, focusing on what I was doing, and everything else fell into place.
Yeah. Oh, I got chills with that, because that is legit what happened. You set your intention and then you just let it go and did your thing. Because really, so often the things that we want, we think that there's a path forward that we just need to do, and not to discount that can be true, but with bigger dreams that we have, we can't know the path. So that level of allowance, what was that like for you as you watched it unfold?
I mean, it was, you know, I guess a lot of days, like, is this real? You know, I mean, and then, you know, there was, like I said, there was a lot of roadblocks along the way. There was a lot of, you know, and it seems like as great things happen, then more bigger issues come out and unfold. So, you know, the whole process was, you know, there's definitely like the high days, the low days, you know, days that are like, wow, this is incredible. Is this real? Like, did this really happen to me? You know, and some days I was like asking God, like, why, you know, why me? Why did I get, you know, why did I get this opportunity? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I mean, everything, it's, it really is. I mean, I kind of, you know, through everything, I know I always just kind of every path I made, cause I had to, even to get to this company, I had to take different paths and different choices. Yeah. And I mean, I knew when I was leaving a more secure job I had been at for years. I was leaving a higher position to go to start over from scratch.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I even took a pay cut on it, and it was like, but at the same time, I was, before I jumped into these steps, I prayed to God, and that was just kind of felt the energy of pulling, like, this is where you need to go. And, every step, every big step I've made in my life, I've done that way. You know, I kind of like, hey, you know, pray to God and ask for, you know, lead me the next direction, lead me the next path. And, it always worked out incredible. So
that's so important there. It is that you took action with that. Yes.
Yep.
It is, you know, I think so many people have this idea of, oh, if I just pray, or if I just set my intentions, or if I just whatever, like, it'll come to me. But no, this is a relationship. This is a give and take. So to be able to follow that sort of prompting, I think that's what allowed that.
Yep. Yeah. I heard somebody say one time, they said, the law of attraction is real, but the law of attraction, there's two parts to the word attraction. It's attract plus action. You don't attract things without taking action. And that's why action is the last part of attraction. So
I like that way better. Cause I always, I get a little bit eye rolly with eye of attraction, and simply because of that people, not that I don't like understand it and get it and like actually believe in it. It's that whole bit that it isn't just that you just sit there and it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You can't just attract things.
I mean, that'd be great, wouldn't it?
Yeah. 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 Everything would be a little easier at that point, but.
Right. But, you know, maybe not. Cause, before we started this, I shared with you how I keep coming across people's stories where it is the lesson we learned and the things that maybe we wouldn't choose to do if we knew what we would go through is actually the very thing we needed. Do you have anything like that where you're like, okay, I had no idea what I was getting into. That was way more than what I expected, but exactly what I needed.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, you know, even so along the way, along the process, you know, we this whole process was really fast once, you know, she approached me about buying the company and going into ownership. My business partner, I didn't really know him that great at the time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I laid out right away as like, you know, I didn't really know him or his wife that well, but I just felt like, and I'd seen other issues where people had issues with relationships and business. So I said, mm-hmm. Hey, I don't want to keep wives out of the business. And, which created issues in my own relationship. And me and my wife, I do think me and my wife would have worked well together. And we're actually like, we do a lot of real estate together and, we do work well together, but I didn't want to complicate the issue with us. And on the side, my wife and his wife were actually at the beginning, kind of tried to be friends and that blew up and, created bigger issues. So there were moments where I was like, oh man, you know, if I would have just came into this myself, you know, I would have not had all these issues. One of the biggest things I think I realized along the way, and I mean, it's helped, I mean, I'm still working on it, but, is one of my biggest issues I was having in both, my personal life and business was communicating. And that is, you know, one of the biggest things that makes, things go. So, and it's took me quite a few years, even the last few years, just to even started to recognize and accept that, okay, I do have a communication issue. And, mm-hmm. and, so it's something that this last year I've really been trying to work more on to become a better communicator. Yeah. And I notice the better I do with it, you know, the better it makes my own relationship and better it makes, you know, things at work, because what, you know, it's, if I'm not communicating effectively to my employees or, you know, maybe my business partner, then there's issues. And it's like, oh, well, I thought you guys had this taken care of, you know, and, and same with my wife, it was like, oh, I thought you knew this. And she's like, you never told me about it. So, so, I mean, yeah, the issues that were created in the beginning, that there was a lot of times I was like, man, I just wish I would have, you know, if I would have done this all myself, I would have not have had any of these issues. Mm-hmm. That a lot of them, I mean, kind of led me to help me where I am today. And even my wife, you know, she's, gone through a lot of stuff, but she's been doing a lot of personal development herself here the last few years, which has been, incredible. She's had a lot of a tough time. You know, she's been a stay-at-home mother for forever. And I mean, that's really, it's dragged on her, but now she's doing some really incredible things. I mean, she's writing a book and I mean, she's got an incredible story, and this past year has been a amazing journey for her as well. So it's just awesome watching us both, you know, grow on the same level now, where before, like, I know when I first jumped into business, there was a lot of days where she would feel like, you know, oh, you're just rising yourself up and I'm just over here doing this. So, and I think there was things I said and did that probably created a lot of that tension and you know, just, and probably was some selfish things along the way where I was just, you know, so focused on my own path that I wasn't really thinking about anybody else. So, but now to be able to watch her, you know, grow herself and, you know, come past those obstacles has been a pretty incredible journey as well. So,
oh, see, that's the beautiful part about a loving relationship, is to be able to feel that sense of like joy watching your partner flourish and come into their own too.
Yeah.
Which, so it's just lovely hearing you say it, because it doesn't always happen.
Well, in the beginning, in the beginning, I was like, you know, I was like, oh, this is incredible. You know, I'm doing exactly what I wanted to do, you know? And then, so I asked her, like, you know, I know, you know, I was on a different level, you know, I'm on this high level up here, and I'm like, oh, well, what do you want to do? What do you, you know? And she's like, oh, I'm not, what I'm doing is not good enough. You know, I'm, you know, and I'm like, I don't mean it like that. I just want you to be able to, you know, follow your dreams, your passion. But she was in a tough place at the moment. And I mean, she's, like I said, we've been in business now for over 4 years. And, but those original issues that, that I think I had caused with most of it due to lack of communication, but also just kind of making her feel pushed out, that created both of us, I think, to be working on ourselves. And I mean, and like I said, I mean, for her, really the last couple of years, this last year has been a huge transformation for us. So,
Oh, what a relief. Well, and it's so funny when, you know, as a, I was a stay-at-home mom for a long time. So I get that with being asked, what do you want to do? And the first thing when you said that, as if, you know, asking your wife, I thought the answer is take a nap.
Yeah. She probably would have liked that.
But yeah, to be able to have time and space to eventually do that. And then to be able to do it together. So you guys are in your real estate ventures together then?
So, I mean, I've ventured out a little bit more. I mean, than her, like I've been to, so I started going to real estate events and, I've done a lot of traveling and, there was an event that was, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's, 10X ladies. It's, the Cardone. So it was talking, it was talking about, you know, hey, you and your spouse, get your, you and your spouse on the same page. And, my wife is not a Grant Cardone fan at all, or she never was. And, she still isn't, but. I'm okay saying that, but I mean, I've learned a lot through real estate and everything, through their programs, but I was like, hey, this is a, they say, get you and your spouse on the same page. And I got a free ticket with this event I went to. And she's like, that's just so they can brainwash the wives too. You know, she's like, this is all a brainwashing thing, but
she's smart. Anyway,
she is. But, she went to the event with me and, it wasn't like that event changed your life, but just a series of events after that. I mean, amazing things started happening. Sharon Lechter was at the event. I don't know if you're familiar with her, but she's a best-selling author. I think she was like head of finance or something like that for both George Bush and Barack Obama.
Yeah.
And like, she's a very, and very successful author. So when she was speaking, my wife was really drawn to her. Mm-hmm. And a couple months later, you were following her on social media and, she was announcing an event for a book writing retreat. And my wife had always wanted to write a book. And I said, well, we'll go to the event. And she's like, oh, you know, it's too much money. Is this and that? And I'm like,
yeah,
I'm like, do you have a powerful story to tell? Do you have, you know, is your story gonna be able to help people? I mean, mm-hmm. you think you're going to be able to write a credible book that's going to change people's lives. And, you know, she's like, yeah, I'm like, well, then the money now doesn't matter. I mean, you know, make it happen. And, and I mean, those events, it's just been a huge transformation for her. I guess that was all this spring that happened. She also went to, we had a contractor that was building our shop. His wife had reached out to her and asked her if she wanted to go to a Christian ministry event with her. Mm-hmm. And so all of this stuff, my wife has always been a very shy person. She's never like getting outside of her comfort zone. She never like trying new things. She never like really traveling much. So the ministry event, she went with somebody she had never met before. She had no idea what she was getting into. Same thing. She was kind of nervous. Like, is this some kind of cult thing or, you know, where they're going to brainwash you and, you know, take you out in the middle of nowhere. Right. So they drove together, literally met that day, drove down to Missouri and were there for a weekend. And, she had some like really amazing moments where, you know, she really felt a connection with God. Mm-hmm. And then, it was about a month later when she did the book writing retreat. I mean, she flew down to the British Virgin Islands by herself. And like I said, I mean, a year ago, she would have never even like traveled anywhere by herself. So, just to watch her really step out of her comfort zone and same thing as you said, you know, taking those levels of action. I mean, it really taking massive actions to get to those places. So.
Oh, it's amazing. It's that the power of like just saying yes once leads to another one, to another one. And then they speed up.
Yep.
Which is amazing. Well, her story is fantastic. Now, what's her timeline for her book? What is she thinking?
So she's hoping to have it done by Christmas Day.
Oh, so
She's at 35,000 words and her story is like basically on her spiritual, like I say, we're both growing at the same time. You know, I'm always pushing hard in business, but even with business, more pushing business, I feel like it's connected me more to spirituality. And she's just solely zoning in on spirituality. And I'm like, you know, it's cool. We're both doing kind of separate things, but it's like it just all comes together in and works its way back together. So.
Oh, it's beautiful. So I'm assuming that hasn't always been the case. You said before with her that maybe you weren't as supportive. And was that, where do you think your focus was and where do you think it should have been?
Well, you know, I was so zoned into like, you know, I think just the business and like, and I don't think I was coming from a place of greed, but I think I was just so zoned in on like, oh man, this opportunity to, you know, getting into business and like that I just kind of, probably neglected a little more, my wife and I mean, mostly her feelings, you know, of, and where I was probably a little more self-centered, where I could have, opened up and understood where she was coming from, you know, at the time. And, and I mean, the last couple of years, you know, when COVID hit, it was obviously a tough time for business. I mean, especially in oil and gas, it was, oil tanked to negative for the first time ever. So yeah, we had a really interesting time. I mean, I really enjoyed that year because it was like, we were going so fast paced that, was having a hard time keeping up. And when everything crashed, it was like instantly. And, so as soon, like we had, I think 7 rigs working and I think 6 of them within like a week all came to our yard. Like all the equipment was come back in, like everything was just stopping like instantly. And I was like, and before I had a couple of those rigs are 24 hours, we had constant things going on. I was getting calls, messages, like I wasn't sleeping very much. So when everything crashed, my business partner, he was like, oh man, I'm super nervous. I haven't been able to sleep since everything's crashed. And I'm like, I'm sleeping great now. I'm like, you know, I know nobody's gonna bug me. And I'm like, I just, you know, I was like, I have faith that, you know, everything's going to work out. And if it doesn't, if we lose everything, what I've learned the last couple of years is going to give me, you know, the tools to rebuild it. So I wasn't even worried if I lost everything. So, I mean, we made it through and everything worked out fine, but, it was also a lot, it gave me a lot of time. You know, I realized how many years, even prior to the business, it was, as a worker in oil and gas. I mean, there's a lot of days, I mean, I was putting in 15 and 20 hours, sometimes more than 20 hour days. Like we were working a lot. So it was, seemed like for the first time since I'd been out here that really just had a lot of time, a lot more time to spend with the family. That was actually the first we'd bought a home that we were going to fix up. And, you know, I mean, we, as a whole family, we had the kids involved, everything, you know, gutting the house, the kids had a blast ripping everything out. Yeah. So, yeah, definitely just getting to spend that extra time with them, realize how many years you lose, when you're just, diving in at that level. And then also figuring out how to restructure the business so that things weren't going to be as stressful when everything picked back up. And, just made it a smoother process here this last few years as we've, rebuilt. So.
Oh, good. Isn't it funny how the things that come up that stop us, we're so invested in something and then we're no longer able to do it. We find out like I needed that eliminated in order to maintain my sanity. Yeah. So it's funny that he couldn't sleep or he could, yeah. You guys flipped.
Yeah. I was like, man, I'm sleeping great now. Cause before everybody was calling me in the middle of the night and I was loving it. And I was like, oh, everything will work its way out or.
Well. Yeah. So how are you able to get that? Because I think that's the difference between you sleeping and your partner not sleeping.
Okay. I mean, I give it to faith. I don't know. I just like, whenever, and that's one of my biggest things. I mean, always, anytime you're going through something hard or like, especially it's like the unknown of like, what's going to happen next or what do we, you know, how do we solve this problem? And like, when you have no idea what the answer is, it's like, that's the best time to just really just stop and pray to God and say, all right, God, I'm out of, you know, my own options now, you know, step in and lead the way from here. And I just know, and you know, the more I do it and the more I come out successful, I mean, and I feel like I've actually done it for years, even, you know, I talk about my whole process of, getting out here and even, you know, meeting my wife. It was like everything to even get me there and to get me to the spot where, you know, I, you know, at first with a business, I'd be like, oh, you know, everyone's like, how'd you end up with that? And then, oh, I got lucky, you know, I was at the right place at the right time. And which now I just tell people, like, you know, it, you know, I literally manifested, you know, I'm not, it's like, I'm not gonna not share my story and tell people, you know, it's like, right. You know, I'm being fake. Honestly, if I tell people, oh, I was lucky or just at the right place at the right time, because I know that isn't the case, you know, I know that's not true. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, when you look at the whole path, I mean, everything that happened to get me to where I am, it's, every one of those steps, I was unsure of the next decision. And I just kind of prayed to God. And a lot of the decisions, I was like, I knew I had to go there, but I was unsure of why. I'm like, why am I pulling toward this? You know, a lot of times it was, I was going to take a pay cut or, you know, going somewhere where I didn't think I wanted to be. And I'm like, but I just trusted in God and it was, you know, went with it and it always worked out amazing. So.
Oh, well, that's the way that we're built. I think that's why we're here, is to be able to, that's really knowing yourself, which I think is one of the greatest, like, commands we're given as human beings, to know thyself. And that includes being able to know when you're being nudged and how to follow it, regardless of the information that's on the outside. Because yeah, you could have never guessed how that was going to turn out at all.
Yeah. God always knows better than we do ourselves. You know, we think we're, you know, the smartest person in the room, or we think we know what steps to take, or, you know, how things should be. And, you know, the times where things aren't working out that way, it's, you know, really just trusting in God and knowing that the process is, you know, if you're giving your faith to God and just, you know, saying, God, I'm trusting you that this is the right way, you know, it, for me, it's always worked out. So I don't know why I would try anything different.
Right. Well, there's infinite possibilities when you let go of the one thing, the one way you think things should work out. If you give that up, that means literally all the other possibilities are infinite.
Yeah.
Which I'd rather choose from those than the one way I think it should turn out.
I would definitely not be where I am today if I went all the ways I thought I should have been going.
Right. Well, considering infinite possibilities, let's talk a bit about your, like, this other bigger dream you have with creating more business owners, with helping homeless veterans, with changing third world countries. What does that look like for you? What drives you? What are you like, where do you want to start?
That's a good question. I'm not exactly sure where to start. I just, I decided one day, I was like, you know, I know, you know, I'm not in business for money. I know. And I mean, ever since I was a kid, I always wanted to help people. I wanted to, you know, I was raised with the values of like, oh, you know, you should help the poor, you should help, you know, the less fortunate. Mm-hmm. But as I got older, I realized that, you know, helping people in the sense that most people have, like, you know, give the poor money is doesn't really help people. You know, it more so enables them, and it hurts people more than anything. So as I grew in business and I seen the values of business and, you know, you create a business and you create, you're not just creating wealth for yourself. You can create wealth for all of the people that work for you. You can, create wealth for your vendors, people on so many different levels. So, and, you know, I was like, I want to, you know, where can I go from here? And really all these ideas were just ideas that popped in my head. So I wrote them down and I'm just like, you know, I'm young, so I have a whole life ahead of me. But these are things I'm like, you know, I want to have accomplished before I die and they are very far out there. Sometimes I think about them and like, okay, is this just like insane? But I'm like, I know I have the thoughts for a reason. So, I think as I've been into business and just really understand business, understand employees, and understand, you know, I don't think business is for everybody, but I feel like there's a lot of people that are in the same, you know, the same idea of like, the most people probably are like, there's people that have the potential to start businesses, but that's that whole, where do I start? Oh, I can never, in the self-limiting beliefs of, like, you know, I can never, you know, I don't have the money. I don't know anybody with the money. I have no way to, you know, I don't even know where to start. I don't, you know, and then the, you know, of course the, what if I fails, but I mean,
well, and it's like, what if you fail? Like,
yeah.
So that happened.
Yeah. And then, you know, you learn from it and you grow even better. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I know we have a large homeless problem, and I mean, there's a lot of people that I think have served our country that are struggling and are in those points where they don't know where to go. They don't know what to do. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't know how many of them have the potential to start businesses, but I'm like, man, if I could just, you know, find one guy that was, you know, had, you know, qualities, because I think, leaders have certain qualities to them, and, mm-hmm. and finding those qualities in people that, you could kind of build them up and, you know, give them their own self-confidence to be able to rise up. I mean, and I think by starting something like that with just, you know, one person, start with a couple of people, I mean, I do believe it would create a network of building up multiple people like that.
Well, yeah, it is just starting. It's as simple as that. So, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, and then business owners in general, same thing. I mean, I think throughout the country, there's just so many people that have that potential to, mm-hmm. you know, do business. And I think, like I said, I think businesses are great. I think, you know, we are fortunate here in this country to have businesses, and mm-hmm. I mean, have the ability to create businesses the way we are. And so where I come to the third world countries, like that one was more of a, you know, I look at, we, you know, there's obviously countries where people are hurting. There's countries that probably would never even be able to do that because there's too much corruption. But I'm like, if I could just find three countries that would be willing to, you know, work with people to like, hey, let's build some sort of infrastructure, some kind of industry. I mean, the reason this country became so great is, you know, we built incredible industries, you know, all over this country. And it's, I mean, it provided jobs for millions of people, and, you know, mm-hmm. And yeah, I do feel like there's countries that would have that ability to, you know, I mean, it would benefit everybody in the country, from the, you know, the people that are struggling to, you know, they create businesses and then provide jobs for people, would create tax dollars for the government of those countries. I mean, as long as everybody was willing to, you know, work together, and I don't know, it's a, that's a, definitely a far one out there. Sometimes it's hard to grasp, really, because it's a long ways out, I think, but it's I don't know, I think about it often. I think it's you know, I think it's more beneficial than saying, you know, telling a country that's struggling, here's a check for however many billions of dollars, and mm-hmm. the money is wasted or gone or who knows what, and you know, they're still struggling. And
yeah,
so
I think isn't it like you want to provide opportunity rather than just throwing money at the problem?
Yeah. Yeah. The opportunities are more beneficial, will be more beneficial to everybody.
Yeah. So. I feel like that's essentially what all of us needed at some point who've started businesses, to be provided with an opportunity, and it just looks different. And for those that live in a place with such little opportunity, to even give them something, it would make a drastic difference.
And I mean, create changes for, I mean, generations. Where now, I mean, there's places where people are just, you know, generation after generation of struggling, and it is unfortunate to see. But, you know, I also know that money isn't the cure to it. It's not, you know, and that's, money is a tool. Money, you know, if you can use money to create things, create jobs, create businesses, that is where we will be able to help people on a global level.
Oh, exactly. And I think it's super important to highlight that money is a tool, especially to get like stigma around the desire to, you know, to have your business grow, to make more money, when it often comes for so many business owners who are very successful, it does come from a place of just realizing money is a tool and I can use it in this way. And they've figured out how to use it in a way that's really wise and shares, like, again, more opportunities. Yeah. That's why we want to say money's good. It's
good. Yeah. Yeah. It's, no, I mean, definitely it's, you know, it, like I said, I mean, it has done great things for people around the world. So it's like, but it's just, you know, I see people, you know, they'll look at billionaires and say, oh, they're greedy because they won't, you know, give their money away. But it's like, they don't want to, they know most of it's going to get wasted. And, you know, mm-hmm. Elon Musk, they said, I think, you know, if they gave away 10% of his wealth or whatever it was, and how he could solve all these problems. And he said, tell me where to go. And I want to see exactly where the money's going and I'll donate it.
Yeah.
And nobody can provide him a legitimate, you know, place to give the money. So if you don't have the things, the tools to, you know, make the money useful, then it's just money that'll get, you know, blown. And I mean, it's with anybody. I mean, I mean, our kids, I mean, you give my kids all the money in the world and they're gonna have fun and then they're gonna be broke. So it's like, to be able to teach them what to do with money, how to create money, and to make it continue working for yourself, I mean, is what's beneficial.
Yeah. Which leads to then also, we need to think about what financial education looks like, how to change that sort of mindset around money so that we can, use it as the tool that it's meant to. Thankfully plenty of people have had it figured out, but
yeah. No, absolutely. And that's, go ahead.
No, you're good.
No, I was just gonna say also, I mean, you brought up financial literacy. That's same thing. That's it's another one, just being able to teach, you know, financial literacy to everybody. I mean, including my children. You know, I always like, you know, I think about my older children. I'm like, I wish I would have known what I know about money now, you know, when they were young. You know, my younger children, I'm pushing and teaching, and the older ones, I still, every chance I get, I'm trying to, you know, talk to them and teach them about money and, you know, the values of it and, you know, how to multiply their money and how to, you know, how it's better to put your money to work for you. But it is easier, I think, to get the younger children, you know, on board when they're learning it from a young age. But you know, anybody really who wants to learn, you know, and just getting people to change their mindset about money, because I see so many people that have this idea of greed, and it's like usually the ones that are saying, oh, this person's greedy. Mm-hmm. It's almost greedy that they have the thought of that other people need to, you know, do something they want with their money. And then, you know, where the ones that are like, oh, I'd give more to charity, but I don't have money. And it was like, well, you know, why, you know, it's a, and why not? Why would you not want to, you know, if you want to people to give money to charity or to give money to these causes, why would you not want to learn, figure out how to create more wealth so you can give to those causes?
Oh, exactly. Well, that mentality is the same one who gets upset about the price of services or anything.
Yeah.
Or when you have to charge for your services and should always charge your worth. So yeah, it's a whole shift.
Yeah.
Well, with all of that together, that is a lot. So have you, in pursuing any of this, have you experienced, there's so many things with all the change, any like sort of burnout or imposter syndrome, or what are the, in that sort of like space, that have you experienced?
Yeah, probably all of the above. I think, I mean, like I said, it's just, it's almost like a roller coaster ride. I mean, there's the days where it was like completely just burned myself out, where I'm just like going so hard. I'm like constantly doing things with work. And then I'm like, if I'm doing too much work, then I'm neglecting my family. I'm, you know, and it's like, so building those perfect, transitions. And then even, you know, I did end up, I hired a manager and, you know, I had him taking care of most of my day-to-day things. I still like to be involved, so I'm still involved with things, but I hit a point, it's crazy. So like, it's like almost pretty much the same time my wife was like starting to do great things. And then all of a sudden I was thinking to myself, I'm like, like things in my business are going too smooth for me now. Like, I'm kind of like what now I need to do more. I need to start doing bigger things now. Cause it was almost like stressful to me that like things were going too smooth, I guess.
Right.
And same thing. It was actually my birthday on May 29th. And I was like, I just had to stop and like kind of meditate, pray to God. And I'm just like, what now? What am I supposed to do now? And I had a vision then of like basically writing a book too.
Yeah.
And it was like, you need to write a book. And then all of a sudden I was like, oh, now I have something that I'm like, you know, I have a purpose again. Mm-hmm. And the idea in my head was it popped, and I don't know. I think it was God telling me like, your book has to be done. Mine and my wife's anniversary is June 18th. So mm-hmm. like, it's gotta be done by your anniversary, which was less than 3 weeks away. And I'm like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Basically I did a rough draft for my book in less than 3 weeks. I just like every morning I got up and wrote for like 2 hours every day.
Oh my God.
and the crazy thing was like right after I had this whole vision idea, mm-hmm. my manager, he had gone and put in his 2 week notice, and literally his last day was right before our anniversary. So it was like, all of a sudden then I had a lot more of my plate again. So it was like, that's why mm-hmm. I had to do that little step, but it also just kind of like re-energized me to, you know, get back my feet. And at the time I was like, I just want to go full force again. And, took over the business, worked on restructuring things that I didn't think were going well, and, worked on a lot of things. And then this last month I just started, I had promoted another manager again. So, and mm-hmm. and a lot of things I've seen went wrong with the first manager. I mean, he did fine, but there was just certain issues, certain things that I don't think I just kind of was like, oh yeah, whatever you want, you know, run it how you think would be good. And mm-hmm. so I was a little more clear on things. And this guy, I told him, you know, I'm going to put you through management classes. We're going to structure this better, you know, for both you and me to make, you know, I want you to be successful. And I was like, I want you to do a better job than the last manager. And I want you to do a better job managing than I would have done managing. Mm-hmm. So far he's been doing great. And and you know, all of that, the freedom then gives me more time to work on other projects. And I mean, dive into more real estate projects and just everything and anything in between. So
that's how it's supposed to happen. That's the thing. Yeah. It's you're given now the time to pursue more. It just grows once you follow that prompting. So yeah. When is your book going to act? Is it still in draft form?
Yeah, I finished what I finished that day, and I was like, and then I just really didn't look at it again after that. So I don't know. I don't know if, I mean, mine was, I still have a lot of like small points to add. I think, I just did it. It was a really rough draft. It was like a one time through, and I was like, okay, I'm done. That's good enough. But it really helped me like really deep dive into a lot of my own issues, and just like, you know, like dive, like having to dive into my childhood, dive into, you know, just bringing up things from the past mm-hmm. that it's like, I think sometimes we suppress, and it's like, oh, maybe this is the way I act this way, or the way I'm, you know, this way. So mm-hmm. It was almost like a therapy in itself. So, and that's, right. I mean, my wife has really been dealing with that too, as she's been on the process for her book.
Well,
it's like a lot of, and I mean, she's really, really deep, because she's going very in depth in everything. I mean, hers is, so it's a good process, but.
You put it in such a good way that it's like therapy, and the idea of like bringing up stuff that we maybe have not, I've had that in actually some conversations recently with some clients, that it was like, I don't want to actually deal with this thing. I had it buried, and I think it was buried successfully. And I'm like, I don't think it was buried successfully. This behavior is actually what has followed that. So if we can actually just let it be looked at, maybe.
Yeah. That start might be to understand. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it is a fascinating story that you have. and to be able to eloquently lay it out and identify that, yeah, you asked for something and you release control over it, and how it all unfolded to ultimately get to what you want is a beautiful testament to trust and to faith and to yeses.
Yeah.
To actually how, you know, what brings you joy. So I think that is so useful for everybody. And that's what really what I want people to hear from you.
Yeah, it's nerve wracking, I think, along the way, but I mean, to watch it fold out and especially to look back, you know, it's if you climb a mountain, you know, it might be scary on the way up, but I mean, to be able to look back and see what you accomplished, it's like, wow, is this real? You know, it's an amazing journey. So,
oh, well, I hope you're taking the time to look back and actually go, yeah, I did that.
Yeah. Now I'm really working on my gratitude phase now, because now it's like the really dedicating the time to, you know, like really be grateful and, you know, like every morning, every night, and then just anytime, even if especially if I get stressed out on something, you know, like just stop and like more so than just praying to God, be like thanking God for like, God, like, thank you so much for everything you blessed me with. So like, I don't even know why I'm stressing or worrying about this, because you've, you know, blessed me in so many other ways. So
yeah,
it's
a good practice. I think it's literally just our body's response to a threat. And so to be able to pause and go, or a perceived threat.
Yeah.
And that's what you're doing with that gratitude, is combating that perceived threat and putting it down as the fake thing that it is.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's never turns out as bad as you thought it was in your head. And I mean, a lot of times, like you said, I mean, it ended up being a helpful step along the way, you know, something you needed. So.
Yeah. Well, when you have enough of those times where it happens, where you're like, this is terrible, I don't know how I'm getting out of that. And then at the end, you're like, whoo, I did that. Oh, actually, look at all this good stuff that came from it. Okay. Yeah. Well, so what's next for you? Is it just keep focused on what's in what you're doing now, or what's it look like for you? Oh, I'm still here. I'm
okay. Not sure. Yeah. For the time being, I'm, you know, still working on building the business and, really, you know, as I'm growing my business and really, working with my manager and, you know, telling him, like, you know, letting him know why I am, you know, I don't think I communicated as much with my last manager. Now I'm really telling him, like, you know, this is why I'm, it's not that I don't care about the business, you know, but I'm getting into real estate because, you know, this is something I'm working on now. This is something I'm passionate about, and it's, you know, and ultimately it's real estate investing. I mean, I think it's a way I can help even my own employees. I think everybody kind of learn financial literacy, and, you know, it's an avenue of investing people's money. So, you know, I'm doing it as it's a full circle thing, you know, and, you know, and just being honest and upfront with them about, you know, why I'm going into this journey. You know, I think it's really helpful. And I mean, and he seems to be doing really good with it. And it's just, so yeah, I mean, real estate, I mean, is really, especially right now with everything, kind of crashing down around us. It really is. I mean, it's been tough this past year, but
yeah,
the next year or two, I think, is going to be a really great time getting into real estate. So.
Yeah. Yeah. I second that.
So yeah, that's, I've been spending a lot of time with that, networking with a lot of people, in the real estate club I'm in. And then just basically anybody who's wants to talk about real estate, I'm working on connecting with. So.
Nice. Well, that's a good plan. Yeah. Here for it.
Yeah. I mean, the networking is huge. I mean, just to be able to connect with people. And I mean, we are at such a opportune moment in our lives to have, you know, things like this, Zoom and any, you know, digital way of communicating with people. You know, you know, a lot of people say, oh, you know, if I could have started a business back then, or it would have been easier back then. It's like, really, like the technology we have in today's world is like, we are at the most opportune time of, you know, of the world. So
yeah, you can literally start immediately with the tools at your hand, with what we have in front of us. So, well, thank you. Thank you so much for your time and for sharing your story, being willing to be open with all of that. And I know that it's going to be super helpful for those that are a few steps behind. And so when things do come out for you, when you have a book, when your wife has a book, we want to know where to direct people to so they can find that. Does that sound good?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm excited. I mean, I think I'm more excited about her story and her book than my own. I do think I haven't really put a full on publishing my book yet as far as my date, but I mean, she's pushing hard on hers and, I'm really excited for her. So.
Well, good. Well, I think we'll have to have her on and have a conversation about that.
Definitely. I think that'd be awesome.
Good. So. Good. Thank you again for your time. It has been such a pleasure talking to you.
Yeah. Thank you. I really appreciate you letting me come on here and share my story, and it's been fun. So.
Oh, you're welcome.
Feels good. It's sometimes it's nerve wracking, but it always feels good sharing my story with people. And, you know, sometimes I, you know, maybe criticize myself in my own story, and the more people I share my story with, and, you know, it makes you feel better, I guess, about yourself, about, you know, the path you're on, and know that you're on the right path. So.
Oh, good. Good. That's how we want you to feel. Well,
yeah.
Good. Well, it's been a pleasure, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks. See you. Bye.
Hey, Katie.
Yeah, Mark.
Want to do an outro?
I sure do.
Sweet. Hey, thank you so, so much for listening and making it to the end.
Yay, you.
So what happens next?
We ask them the things that podcasters are supposed to ask at the end of an episode.
Can you please rate, review, download?
Subscribe. Yeah.
But why is it important?
Because that's how our podcast gets noticed.
It's how people find us.
It is. And we want all their earballs.
All the earballs all over the place.
We do.
Nice.
Yeah. So please do all those things. We'll be ever so grateful.
And then more people hear your beautiful voice.
Or yours.
Oh, yeah. See you next time.
Bye.